We've been, for the past several weeks, we've been looking at the book of Hebrews. We've been looking at this whole idea, this understanding, this great idea, I think, of elevating Jesus. Elevating Jesus. And, you know, one of the things that I've taken away from this book, from the book of Hebrews, I think it's unmistakable, is that Jesus did his part. I mean, you cannot, there's just no getting around it. You cannot... In fact, you can't get out, you can't not read the Bible, or you can't read the Bible and not come away with the fact that Jesus, that God in Christ gave absolutely everything. He gave everything. And God did his part through Christ to bring redemption once for all to you and me. And, well, here's the thing, and here's going to be the point, I think, of today, is it's our turn. It's our turn to do it. It's our turn to recognize that this sacrifice, this idea of sacrifice, this idea of bringing things to the cross, isn't something that God alone is responsible for. But in fact, you and I are faced with that same kind of decision. What are the things that need to come to the cross? What are some things that I want to play with that image just a little bit this morning? Are there some things in our lives that need to come to the cross of Jesus Christ because you can't have them because be faithful? Are there some things that just because you have them in your life that it's hard to be faithful because you have those things in your life? What needs to come to the cross? Are there some things that you need to bring to the cross because God, or so that God can somehow redeem those things and take what was once a distraction and somehow turn that into something that is of great value for His sake? I want you to take a look with me, if you would, at the chapter 10 of the book of Hebrews. It's really a great passage. It's one that highlights this truth in two different ways. Because the very first thing that he's going to say is that God did his part. That's the first thing he's going to say. But then he's going to come back around and he's going to challenge you and me to do our own part. And so I want to take a look at Hebrews chapter 10 and look at the verse number 19 here. He says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus." Remember, we talked about that last week. The most holy place and the blood that had to be sprinkled and all that. "Since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain." The curtain was what hung between the Holy of Holies and the holy place. And now he says that is Christ's body. "And since we have a great high priest over the house of God." Now all of that right there, that's God's part. That is what he has done. That's all the stuff that he's taken care of. But then he's going to come back around and he's going to say this in verse 22, "Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." And then there's this rather interesting section that about what happens to people who refuse that kind of faithfulness. And so down in verse number 35, here's what he says. "So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and not delay, but my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved." So here it is. Here's what I think that he's getting across here is that God has done his part. God has done His part. We talked about that last week. We talked about the fact that God in Christ, once for all, has offered this sacrifice that provides redemption for us. And so I think that the call that He issues to us as believers in Christ, I think the one thing that He calls us to is this, is to follow, and 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 to just stay with it. To persevere, to stick with it, to hang in there, to hang on, and to not get distracted. I think that's a really incredible picture that's painted here. If you look at this, it's incredible. All of the languages that he uses in chapter 9 of Hebrews chapter 9 has all of those rich images coming right out of the Old Testament sacrificial system. Now we see that, right? We saw that last week if you were here. All of that has all of those rich, all the stuff that God has done to bring blood to the altar. Remember we saw the altar that stood before the tent, curtain or the curtain that was right to go into the Holy of Holies, and you have that altar that's there where the animals were brought to be sacrificed. All that stuff that God has done to bring blood into the most holy of places, to produce redemption on our behalf. And he says, with those images in mind, he says, you have had your heart sprinkled and your bodies washed. Now, the scholars would tell you that that is a very clear picture of two sides of the issue. The blood, on the one side, the blood of Jesus Christ is sprinkled at the altar of God on your behalf. And then on the other side, he says, you and I, we have this baptismal experience whereby we participate. We participate in the sprinkling of blood, of Jesus' blood, and it is applied to you. He uses this image of a body being washed and this cleansing that takes place and comes into our life. And you and I, we experience what it is to follow God by participating in that sacrifice of Jesus. We participate through our own death and resurrection. You and I choose to follow. We choose. That's a conscious choice. And really, that's what this is about. It's about the sacrifice of Jesus and that which we're supposed to do. And so he says in this text five times, did you notice that? Let us. Let us. Notice those verbs. Just look at these. He starts to put some responsibility on you and me. But I just want to look at those verbs for just a minute. Because the first thing he says is this. Let us, you can flip that, let us draw near to God. And we can say that together. Can we do that? Let us draw near to God. That ain't very hard, is it? Well, we can understand that. I mean, certainly it's not hard to figure out. I mean, if you want to be faithful to God, then you just need to inch up a little closer to Him, you know, and get close to Him, right? Just get close. Now, I don't want to embarrass anybody this morning. I really don't, but I want to try this a little bit. Okay? Dave, scoot on a little closer to Pam. Snuggle up. Put your arm around her. Jerry and Betty, put your arm around. Put it around Betty. Joel, you guys. Huh? You already done that, right? Okay. So a little bit closer there. I mean, Pauline and Kevin, let's move closer together. You know, one of the things, get that snuggling up feeling this morning, right? Okay? But here's the thing. Oh, you guys can do that too, right? Yeah, there you go. Get close together. But here's the thing. I mean, we all know this. Husbands and wives, you know, we all know this, that if you want to be close, you got to kind of snuggle a little bit, right? I mean, when one of the, huh? Now, be careful. Don't get carried away here. But no, isn't that the truth? That we need to, and we want to get close. If we want to be close, we got to get close to each other. We don't want to let each other out of our sight too much, right? You know what? That's not too hard to translate into faith, is it? Right? Do you want to be near to God? Here's the thing. He didn't move, right? So slide over and get a little closer to God. Draw near to God. And then I want you to look at what the text says here, just a little bit further down, the same text, verse number 23. He says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful." Unswervingly. In other words, hang on. Don't go falling off, you know? Hang on. And I'll tell you what, the picture that I have is of a roller coaster. Right? How many of you guys like roller coasters? Makibo has the whole time, hand right up. Roller coaster's a lot of fun. Now, I used to be one of those brave souls. I wanted to sit right in the very front of that roller coaster, and I wanted my hands up, and I wanted to have that feeling of like I was falling out. Nope, not Jerry, nope. That's what I, not for me anymore either. Because anymore, I mean, if any of you guys want to, you know, our young guys, you still like that? Hands up, yep. That's what it is? And the roller coaster ride? Or do you want to hang on? He likes to put that, you know, that like that feeling that you're falling out sort of thing. I don't like that anymore. Anyone else that wants to do that, that's fine with me. They want to fall out, that's fine with me. I am going to enjoy the ride, and I am going to hang on. And that's exactly what he's saying right here. He is saying, hang on. And that's really... Understand this. That's an intentional thing. You hear what I'm saying? To hang on, to persevere, to stick with the faith, that is intentional on our part. You know, maybe you've heard people say this. There are so many people who wake up one day and they just kind of say, you know, I just don't feel as close to God as I used to. And I think to myself, well, wait a minute. Newsflash, he hasn't moved. Right? So, hang on. Hang on. And then I want you to look at what he says. He says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on." That is a great word, right? Well, actually, I don't know if this is an appropriate image or not. Well, what I'm thinking about is a cattle prod. Right? Some of you know what I'm talking about? Okay. A cattle prod? That's this image right here. It really is. It's urge this person on. That's what it's about. You know, I know that we have this idea that, you know, I've heard it say, you know, we can talk about this a little bit later on, but you know, people are always talking about don't judge this person. Wait a minute. The Hebrew writer is saying part of our responsibility as Christians is to be looking at people, and if we see someone who seems like they're falling off or they're tempted to fall off and things like that, it's like, get with it, stay with it, and encouraging people to stay in there and to stay with it. That's our responsibility as the church. It's our responsibility. I remember in high school I was in track and field, and there were, one of the events that I really liked to do were the distance events. I did the half mile. That was a tougher one for me because that's almost like a sprint. But I love the half mile. I love the mile. I love the 2 mile. I guess they call them what? 1600 and 3200 and 800 now, or I don't know what they call them. But anyway, it's essentially the half mile and the mile and the 2 mile. And I always enjoyed doing that. Those are the ones that really took a lot of endurance. And I could do that. See, I wasn't any good at the high jump. I wasn't any good at the long jump. I wasn't any good at a lot of those sprint relay type things. I couldn't do that because my legs were too short. You know, I remember a guy that was on in our track and field, but he went it every time. I mean, his legs came up to my shoulder. I mean, that guy just a couple different strides and he was all the way down the road. And I, to be honest with you, I really love to run. Well, I should say at this point, at the age of 39, I really enjoy the idea of running. Okay? But I do. I actually wish I really wish I'd get back into it, because I really did enjoy it and should do that, shouldn't I? But I like the long distance ones, and I really enjoy that. That I could do. But well, there's a problem that I had. One of the habits that I got into is that I would store up all of my energy to the very, very end of the race. I mean, I would wait until I got to the last 200 yards, and then I would just sprint like I just was coming right out of the starting block. It just incredible. And the problem was is that during the race, I wasn't pacing myself to fast enough. I wasn't going fast enough for, you know, in order to stay, to stay ahead of the other runners. I was saving it all until the very, very end, you know, and until the time when it was, by that time it was too late to win the race. And I can still remember, I can see his face, I can remember my coach just getting in my face and saying, "Roberts, you got that kind of energy at the end of the race, you need to get going a lot faster during the race," you know, and he just get right in my face. And I still do it at the same time. You know, your mind is thinking as you're running the race, well, if I go too fast here, I won't have enough energy at the end. But then at the end, I had all this energy. But he would just be, it was like a cattle prod to me. Is really what it was. But see, here's what the Hebrew writer is doing. He is saying it is our job. It's our job to urge others to stay with it. If we see someone who's tempted to quit, you know, no, don't quit, stay with it. That is our job as Christians. See, it's not just to keep ourselves faithful, but it's to spur other people on. And then he says just a little bit further down in verse number 25, he says, "Let us not give up meeting together." I don't know how else to say this, but just to say it, you and I, we need the fellowship of other Christians. I mean, the Bible is really clear on this. You and I, we need the fellowship of other Christian people in our lives. And more importantly, if you look at the person next to you, why don't we do that? Just look at the person next to you. They need you here too. They need the fellow, we do. It's not just about me. It's about the people around me. It's about the community here. I remember growing up, we used to have the 52er clubs. Has anybody been a part of a church that had the 52er clubs? The 52er Club was this, that in January, after having spent the last year, the prior year beforehand, if you were there 52 weeks out of the year, then they'd give you some kind of a sticker beside your name, you know, put your name in the record book, and you'd have your name in the bulletin that person, you know, was in church or was in Sunday school, actually, for 52 weeks out of the year. You know, you were there. You basically were there every single week. Of course, if you were out of town, then they had something for that too, that you could actually, you know, you could just send them a message, or you can get, I think at one time there was a, you had to get a pastor signature, but you give them a message and it would say, you know, I was in church at such and such a church, even though I was gone here, and I went to Sunday school and I did this, and then you would still get your sticker or whatever. And then they realized, of course, that sometimes some people get sick, right? Sometimes we get sick. And so, you know, then they started kind of helping us out by saying, well, if you've got, you could have two freebies, okay? You know, you could actually, if you were there 50 weeks out of the year, you'd still get, in other words, you get to be part of the 52er club, even if you miss one or two Sundays. And of course, I was the preacher's kid. I was never gone. You know, I had to be there. I mean, I was, you know, my parents forced me to go to church, you know, every week. And so, but, you know, the good thing about that is I got a sticker beside my name. I mean, now, in all seriousness here, I want you to hear this loud and clear. I'm trying to be an encouraging as much as I can. I am not, there is nothing here that I am trying to do to guilt anyone into anything. Okay? Please understand that. I am going to tell you this, though, that since August of 1987, I can count on one hand the times that I have not been in church. I can give you the details of every single one of those. Now, I don't know what you want to do with that. I'm just telling you that that's the way it's been. I have made a decision myself personally that when Sunday rolls around, here's where I'm going to be. Again, not trying to guilt anyone to anything. The sad part about all that is I didn't get a sticker beside my name. You know, that's unfortunate. Here's really the point that I want to make. There is something about the community of faith. There's something about this community that is such an encouragement to me. There's something about being with God's people on Sunday. There's something with just fellowshipping and being with them. And it just seems that when people are absent, I mean, it just seems that we aren't complete. It seems that when people are absent, that just something is not, well, something's missing. We need each other, and we need the encouragement from each other to just stay faithful. It's not about record keeping. It's not about getting your name in the sticker book or a sticker beside your name. We need each other. So if you see someone who's not here, you know, let them know that you missed them. Let them know that you wish that they were here. And then we'll look at the next one that he says here. He says, and let us encourage one another. That's really what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to encourage one another. We're supposed to call one another alongside of each other to help us get to where we're going. And if that's the issue, if faithfulness is the issue, if staying with this is what matters, then how do you do that? Well, I want to invite you to jump over to Hebrews chapter 12, to the 12th chapter. We're going to jump right on over chapter 11. That's the chapter that sometimes is, if you remember, is referred to as the Hall of the Faithful. And in that there, the Hebrew writer lists a number of people who have gone before us that are examples to us of staying with it, of people who are faithful. But in Hebrews chapter 12, and in verse 1, as he looks back at it, chapter 11, he says this, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, that's chapter 11, let us throw off everything that hinders. Well, that's what this is all about right up here. Let us throw off everything, all this stuff up here that you've been looking at the whole time, wondering what is he going to do with that. I mean, I got a tool bag up here that has a bunch of stuff in here. I got food. This is supposed to represent, maybe your automobile, you know, how important that might be. We have a friend of ours. This is just a statement. It's nothing. He's out buffing his car every, how many of you guys do that? Buffing his car every single day. I mean, it shines constantly. Any of you guys do that? Come on, admit it. Huh? No? Got a bunch of things up here, some sports things, you know, different kinds of, you know, basketball, football, baseball, games, some different games. How many of you guys like to go to the movies? Some of you guys like to go to the movies? Just my kid? Oh, a bunch of you guys. Some music or radios and that kind of stuff. This is a double thing. This is a computer, but it's also a TV set. Just telling you that. I couldn't get the TV set up here today, but, you know, I was looking at all this stuff, and here's all that, you know, when we talk about distractions, you see some of that maybe up here for you guys? You know, I mean, I look at all this stuff, and none of this really, I mean, this doesn't really look like sin to me, does it to you? Anybody think this looks like sin? Does this look like sin? Doesn't look like sin to me. Does this look like sin to me? To you? Not to me. None of this really looks like sin to me, you know? And I'm not necessarily saying that any of this stuff up here is that they're necessarily bad things. But what the Bible says is that there are some things, Now it just depends on who you are and what, how you're wired and stuff. There are some things that have to be thrown off that are not sins. They're just hindrances, right? And then he does say, and throw off everything that hinders, and he says, and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Now, who marked the race, by the way? Who marked the race? Jesus, verse number 2, look at verse number 2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. It's so simple. It is so simple. He says that there are some things that may not be sin that you and I just need to get rid of because they're obstacles to us. A couple years ago, a bunch of us from this church, we went to the Boundary Waters canoe area. Now, I've been up to the Boundary Waters a number of different times, and I want to go. If it were up to me, I would go every single year. I would be up there, and I would be in that wilderness. In fact, I did that. I did that. I took the church 1 year, and then the next year I took the camp, and then I took the church, and then I took the camp, and I went every single year for a number of years. And then from about 2006 was the last time I did it, and then we went with this church in 2012. It had been 6 years since I'd been up in the Boundary Waters canoe area, since I'd been up there canoeing and hiking and fishing and all the other things that go apart with that trip. And I have to tell you, when I got up there, I mean, I was so on fire and I was just excited. It had been 6 years and I got up there and I just expect it. I'm going to go up there. I'm going to lift those canoes. I'm going to paddle. I'm going to hike. I'm going to, you know, go on all the, we're going to make the portages and all that kind of stuff. I'm just going to do it just like I used to before. It was just a piece of cake. I have to tell you, I couldn't do it. Well, I could. I mean, I did it. But I just didn't do it as well as right as I did before. And I'll tell you why, I think. We'll use this to kind of represent that. This is chili base. I thought this was chili. No. Well, we're going to use this, and just I want you to picture that this is being, well, this is why. It's not that I ate all of this, right? It's not that. It's not that I ate all of this. It's that what I ate weighs probably about, well, it probably weighs a lot more than this. And I've kind of noticed that, you know, that's starting to kind of, it wouldn't be hard if you would picture for yourself, you know, you get about, you know, 6 of these and, you know, 3 on each side, you know, or more, maybe more. And then you just kind of put them underneath your arms, you know, and then you try to run, you try to jump, you try to, you know, do all that stuff. You try to do that, right? A lot of times I think what happens is we carry all this extra stuff with us. Right? Can you picture that? And there's not necessarily a thing wrong with it. There's nothing sinful about it. It's just that it encumbers you. It gets in your way of the goal that you're trying, that you have before you. And what he says, what he says here in this text is so simple. He says, take that and set it aside. Just get rid of it. Because it's a non-issue. It isn't what you need. But there are some things, he says. There are some things that are sin. And these are things that are not negotiable. These are things that are not debatable. These are things that you can argue, you just can't argue about. If there's a sin in your life, if you want to be faithful to Jesus, here's the issue. If you keep on sinning, you're not going to make it because it's just going to get the best of you. And that is what all of those verses that we didn't read, that's what they're all about. Sin that we just keep participating in eventually is going to tie you up and is going to drown you. And then what's the last thing that he says in his text? He says, fix your eyes on Jesus. But in order to do that, before he lets you do that, here's what he says. He says, take a look at some of the other people who have fixed their eyes on Jesus. I can just tell you, I got a number of people in my mind. As I was growing up, I look at some of the... Here's why I like the elderly. Now, you can, maybe you don't want to put yourself in that category, I don't know. But here's why. I was brought up to respect the elderly. And one of the things that I mean, we all the time, and we had them in our home, we'd visit them, we'd do, and here's the reason why we can learn so much from them. Because, you know, realistically, they have gone through a lot and have seen, well, we need examples of finishers. Well, that can be you too, right? We need examples in our lives of people who have done this thing. We need examples of we need role models in the church. We need role models all around us in where we're at of people who are examples of people who have done this. And that's really the power. We need to see people who have done this successfully to prove to us that you can get this done, because theirs is a powerful story of being able to persevere and to hang in there. Maybe you've heard his story. I don't know. His name is Greg Gatson. Anybody heard his story? Kai, you heard that one? Greg Gatson, 2007. Greg Gatson, Lieutenant Colonel Greg Gatson. In May of 2007 in Baghdad, Gatson had his legs blown off by one of those IEDs on the side of the road. It's really interesting. Go home and look up. Now it's G-A-D-S-O-N, because there's also a Gregory Gadson, G-A-T-S-O-N. But this is Greg Gadson. In the fall of 2007, a coach from the New York Giants invited Gadson, who was a friend of his, he invited him to come to speak to the Giants team the night before their Washington Redskins game in September. Now this would have been their third game of the season. The Giants had lost their very first two games. They'd lost two in a row. And Gadsden came in his wheelchair and he just offered up a 15-minute encouraging word about what it means to be a part of a team and to hang in there and to never give up on people and on each other and on yourself. And actually, Gadsden is one of the only people who, he lost both of his legs, and he's gotten two artificial legs, and he went back in and served the country on two artificial legs. He's one of only, I think he's the only person who's done that, or one of very few who's done that, but because of technology, he was able to do that. He got up and he shared, at that point, he was in his wheelchair. It just happened in May of that year. So he was, at that point, he did that, but you know, never to give up. But what teamship is all about, and you know what, the Giants won six in a row. In fact, they went on to win 10 in a row of all of their away games. Every time they went on the road, in fact, it's kind of interesting because if you look at the schedule, they lost the ones at home, but every time they went on the road, they won. And in fact, if you remember that year, 2007. The Giants, with Gadsden sitting on the sidelines in his wheelchair, they went on to win the Super Bowl. And many of them, including Eli Manning, the quarterback, said this: he encouraged us. He encouraged us. He showed us what it means to never give up. And so what does this text tell us? It says that we ought to fix our eyes upon Jesus. That, you know, take a good look, he says. Just consider this one who has endured such opposition, who has endured what it means to go to the cross, who has brought all that and more to the cross of God and has been faithful to the task that God has given to him. And he says, fix your eyes on him. And you will never be in trouble when it comes to perseverance. Just follow him. Clear to the end. Just follow him. Just draw near. Get a good grip on the back of the shirt of Jesus and just let him drag you through to the other end. And that's it. Doesn't sound so hard, does it? Doesn't sound so hard, does it? Just fix your eyes on the author and finisher of your faith and stay in there. Let's pray together. Father, we live in a world that challenges us in so many different ways to just give up, especially when it comes to our faith. It makes it so hard. And God, I just pray that you would place people around us who would show us, that would encourage us, who would strengthen us and help us to see that there's what it really means to be a finisher. That this can really be done, that you can hang in there all the way to the end. Because there are so many things that are distracting to us all around us, that are keeping us from hanging on and drawing close to you. God, and so I pray that you would help us, that you would give us that longing, that yearning to just draw near to you. And realize that you haven't moved. But sometimes we have that tendency to move away from you, and we wonder why you're not so close. And it's not that you've moved, it's that we have. But Father, I pray that you challenge us this morning, that you help us to draw near to you, so that we might receive that promise that Scripture tells us that if we would draw near to you, you would draw near to us as well. God, help us to persevere and to hang in there and to follow and to follow and to follow and to stay with it. We pray this in Jesus' name.